We are back on Wyoming Sports Talk today. Larry Perotti along with Nick Perotti and our special guest, Denver AP sports writer, Pat Graham, who is situated right now at the can at the Pepsi Center. And
he's awaiting the big contest again as the Avs still looking to solidify a playoff spot again with the Arizona Coyotes nipping at their heels. But again, we're getting close to hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs. Yeah,
well, we're going to get a chance to pick his brain on some of the stuff here. But, Pat, real quick, good to have you back on the program. Avalanche in action tonight after an OT loss, 14 of them this season for the Avalanche. But they got to get right back at it. Can't have time to lick their wounds. They got Edmonton in town tonight.
Fellas, how are you? Yes, thanks for having me on again. And, yes, it's a big matchup. And that was a big 1 point they earned yesterday with I was in a Kerfoot score in that late final minute goal that he had that point. Two up with three to go.
You know, I'm looking at the Avs this season, and they have been, I guess to use a better choice of words, they have been an enigma. They look like world beaters at times. Then, again, you look at all the overtime losses that they've had this season. It's like they can play 60 minutes. But if you go any further than 60 minutes, you're taking your life in your own hands, so to speak.
Exactly. No, they've been. I think the better word is streaky. You know, when they're hot, they're hot. When they're cold, they are ice cold. They're 4-14 in overtime, and that's just man, that's a lot of points left on the table, and that's why it's coming down to the end here. You know, but I like their chances. I mean, you know, tonight's a must-win, obviously. I mean, you got to beat Edmonton. You know, Bakino was eliminated with Colorado's win, actually, or getting that point in St. Louis. Edmonton was eliminated. You got Winnipeg, going to be tough, and then you finish up in San Jose. That's going to be a very tough game. So, you got to get the points when you can. This would be a big, big, big 2 points.
19-14-6 in the Pepsi Center this season. A little disappointing for home ice.
Well, yeah, but they've been playing better of late. I'd say yes. I mean, definitely 100%. I mean, that's kind of atypical. Last year, I can't remember how many wins they had last year, but it was far, far superior to this. This is why they're in the position they're in. There, you know, I mean, man, two out of three gets them in.
Three games remaining, as you mentioned, Pat, with the Colorado Avalanche. Again, they are tied, at least games played, at 79 apiece, with at least the three other teams right behind them, with the Arizona Coyotes, Minnesota Wild, and Chicago Blackhawks. But obviously the team that is at least close by is those Coyotes out of Arizona, with 2 points behind them at 84, where the Avs are at 86. As you mentioned, Pat, again, must win, or at least two out of the three for the Avs to take care of business. It's going to be a little tough. Obviously, scoreboard watching is going to be at least going on. Arizona has an easy one at home against the LA Kings, who have kind of cashed in this season. But do you see that the Avs have enough to hold off the Arizona Coyotes and those rest of those teams to be playoff bound again this season?
Well, you're playing two out of three at home, and they've been red hot at home lately. I mean, they're just, I think they're, 9-2-1 in their last 12 at the Pepsi Center. So they have picked up their play at home. I mean, they had that streak where they couldn't win for a little while there, and since then, they've been better at home. You know, you got two out of three, you know, at Pepsi Center. I mean, everything is favorable. Everything is trending up. I mean, you have everything in your hand. This is the situation you want. I mean, sure, you'd like to be the third seed or something, and, you know, fighting for, you know, home ice, you know, in the playoffs. But that's not the hand you're dealt. And, you know, you gotta take advantage of this right now, because, I mean, if you don't get in, three games left, if you blow this, it's huge.
Give us a recap of the season for the Colorado Avalanche at this point, Pat, where we sit for the Avs in that second wild card spot right now, with playoffs right at least close by. For the Avalanche, as we know, with the Colorado Eagles, again, that AAA feeder for the AHL, for the Colorado Avalanche, just at least 45 miles north of them. We've seen a lot of movement between the Avs and the Colorado Eagles, moving pieces, whether it's for injury or, again, just taking advantage of who's having a great season for the Eagles. But how did the Avalanche get to where they are this season to at least make it to the playoffs again?
Well, right now it's on the paths of Philip Grubauer. He's been sensational, nothing short of sensational. He has stepped in for Semyon Varlamov, and he's been absolutely magnificent, and he's the reason why they're in the position they're in. And he's been exactly what they need. You know, you need a great goaltending this time of year, and he has just given them that, I think he's given them that boost. I mean, without him, they'd be lost, because they're not scoring a lot of goals, and you've had injuries to, you know, Gabe Landeskog and Mikko Rantanen, your, you know, two of your top scorers, and you've needed just to rely on the consistency of Grubauer, and he's been magnificent. I mean, he's got like a 9.55 save percentage yet in the month of March, which is one of the highest ever in Avs history for the month. So, even higher than Patrick Waugh, So he's doing special things this month, and he's putting in this position.
How important has the Colorado Eagles been to the Avalanche franchise this season? Because obviously, 50 miles down the road, somebody can suit up and get down there in a hurry.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you can. They've been very important because you can send guys down and you can, I mean, get them back up in a hurry. I mean, when they were down San Antonio, you know, it was a day and a half travel. I mean, you call. I mean, but right now you can send somebody down and get them back, and like Andrew Agazino has made the trip a couple times, and just a whole host of guys. AJ Greer has, it's nice to have. It's such a luxury to have your affiliate in your state, and even more importantly, an hour away, because you can just do so many things that you couldn't do otherwise.
Moving away from the Colorado Avalanche, to get your thoughts on just the NHL in general, again, as we're getting close to starting playoffs, but what have been some major storylines that you've seen across the NHL, whether it's in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference? What has kind of stood out to you this season of just kind of pure surprises?
Well, I mean, Washington, they've been, new head coach, same old results. I guess when you have Ovechkin, that happens. Pittsburgh is going to be right there in the thick of things. Oh, I mean, come on. I'm sorry. Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's been the story. I mean, that line, that top line they have, it's just been electric, and they're I don't know if anybody beats them. I just think that Tampa Bay is head and shoulders the best team. That's the team everybody's chasing.
Pat, let's get off the ice. Let's go on the hardwood, because I don't know where you'd rather be at tonight. I mean, being in the can, that's an important game. Another important game could be for seeding. That will be in the Oracle tonight with the Warriors and the Nuggets. But I do want to say, during the fall-winter, at least these two teams, the Avalanche and the Nuggets, have kept the fan interest alive, especially in the Mile High City. Nuggets, they have not gone away. Everybody waited for them to fade. They didn't fade. A tip of the cap to Mike Malone and the guys.
Well, you said it. I mean, who would have predicted this? Coming down the home stretch, you're fighting for, top seed in the West. This is exactly what you want. I think I don't know if I anticipate the Nuggets winning tonight. I mean, I'd be a major feather in their cap if they could, but I just want to see the compete level at a little higher level than it was last time they were out there. Golden State's going to be jazzed up for this game. I mean, I think home court is more important than the Nuggets than it is Golden State. I think Golden State kind of believes they can go in any arena at any time at any given moment and win, and that's just the confidence they have for the success they've had, but This is big for Denver, just to show well, just to compete well.
We know it's going to be a tough round for the Nuggets to at least get to the NBA Finals there in the Western Conference, where, again, you have back-to-back champs, the Golden State Warriors to worry about. Again, a few other teams, whether it's Utah, Houston, Portland, L.A. Clippers, San Antonio Spurs, a lot of teams that have been there and know how to advance on. I'll even toss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. But for the Denver Nuggets, again, having a special season under, at least with Mike Malone and his squad, how tough is it going to be for the Nuggets to at least reach the NBA Finals, or better question of, can the Nuggets reach the NBA Finals this season?
Well, it's funny because I was actually talking to someone about this the other day, and it's like, if I told you at the beginning of the season the Nuggets get in the playoffs and they lose in the first round, you'd be like, wow, that's a really, really, really good step for this team. And, they're young, that's the next, step in the evolution of the Nuggets. And now everybody's like, okay, if they get into the playoffs and they lose that first round series, the season's kind of sour a little bit. And I'm like, well, this team they have no playoff experience. I mean, to get there and to, get some experience with some of these young guys like Jamal Murray and Will Barton and those guys, that's vital. I mean, the only person really on this team with playoff experience is maybe Plumlee and Paul Millsap and Isaiah Thomas, obviously. But other than that, no one has experience. I mean, experience is huge in the playoffs. Everybody knows that. It's a different kind of basketball. You got to keep your emotions in check. We're looking at Nikola there. You're gonna get fouled. They're not gonna get called again. Nikola, you gotta keep his head there. It's just a different kind of basketball. And until you've been through it, it's hard to learn from it. And I think that no matter what happens, the season has to be a positive and a stepping stone.
It's interesting. You could probably, under different circumstances, switch out 2 and 3, the Nuggets and the Trailblazers, move them in place of San Antonio and OKC. Right now, the Nuggets in the playoffs today, they go up against San Antonio. I mean, every game, and it doesn't matter if they advance on or not. I mean, it's like every game of the playoffs upcoming for the Nuggets is going to be something difficult, especially on this West. This West is just murder right now.
It is. That's what I mean. Do you see? I mean, I can't say that the Nuggets are a lock to be direct competition the Spurs. I don't think there's anybody's a lock. I think it's a tough road ahead no matter what. I mean, I just think that, you know, everybody's like, well, I don't think, like you were saying, the West is so tough that you could intermix a lot of these teams and they have a good chance. I mean, Houston to me is playing as well as anyone. I mean, obviously the Golden State is just in a league by themselves, but I love what Utah's doing. Utah plays well against Denver. Portland is just, I mean, you know, Nurkic's injury notwithstanding, that was a horrible injury, but they're playing great. I mean, this is wide open.
In your opinion, Pat, does the West, whether it's the Warriors or whoever dethrones the Warriors in the West, do they still hold on to the NBA title? Again, Milwaukee's played very well. Toronto's played very well. I mean, hell, the Nuggets beat them at the Scotiabank Arena. My point being, though, is the championship going to come out of the West again?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're the champs for a reason, and until they lose it, I wouldn't bet against them. I just think that they are, everybody's like, well, they're just this and that. They lost to Minnesota the other day, and blah, 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 and so forth. I'm like, they're bored. Come on, they're bored. They've been through. They're ready. You know, they're ready for the dessert, which is the postseason. They're ready. They're primed. They're getting things tuned up, and I think that's why this game right here is great for Golden State, because they can't be bored tonight. They have to play this game because Denver's going to bring it. And whether they say that they want home court advantage or they care about home court advantage or not, it's still a big deal because no one wants to go into the Oracle and play.
Pat, real quick, I just want to do one football topic, and then we're going to move on to Major League Baseball. We got the draft this month. I don't know. You can give me the thumbs up, thumbs down assessment on the Joe Flacco trade to the Denver Broncos this year. Is this something that was needed by the Broncos, or could John Elway done better? What do you think?
I think it was needed. I think that it's an upgrade from what you had. I think that it shows that they're not going into rebuild mode, that they're actually going to go for something. I still think it's going to be hard. I mean, the Raiders got better. San Diego's going to be good. Kansas City's going to be great with Mahomes. I just think that I don't know how good Denver's going to be with Flacco. I think that, you know, me personally, is this a 9-7 team? Is it an 8-8 team? 7-9 team? Somewhere around there? What does it get you? Doesn't get you much.
Mediocre, basically, yeah. I that's exactly how I felt about it. It was a mediocre trade.
Yeah, I like the Juwan James, you know, bringing him in for, you know, by tackle, like Bryce Callahan coming in to play opposite, or Kareem Jackson, either one, being in playing opposite Chris Harris Jr. I like the offensive moves they made. I'm anxious to see what they do in the draft. If I'm them and I'm drafting, and somehow that linebacker from Louisiana State, Devin White, is there, I would take him. But I don't know if he's going to be there, because he would fill in the spot for Brandon Marshall, and he'd be a nice pickup, and that defense would be set. But I don't know if he's going to be there. So you also need some offensive line help. I mean, what are you going to do with Matt Paradis? You know, you have no center, I guess, maybe. Connor McGovern right now, but you kind of need to address that area. There's a lot of areas that need to be addressed. I guess that's my bottom line.
Again, for the Denver Broncos, though, that are needs that need to be addressed for the next couple of months. Moving away from the NFL, and again, get the full circle of Denver pro sports. Moving at least to the Colorado Rockies, who have just gotten underway again as we are here in the opening week of Major League Baseball. Three losses in a row so far for the Colorado Rockies against two questionable teams. Again, the Marlins, who I've kind of anticipate will flirt with 100 losses. Tampa Bay, nothing really too impressive out of the AL East. I mean, it's a little tongue-in-cheek question, Pat, but I mean, is it panic time right now already for the Colorado Rockies losing three straight down in Florida?
Well, there's some signs that need to be they're concerning so far. I mean, it's early, and you can't read into, you know, it's a small sample size. It's only five games. Tampa Bay is going to be better than you think. They're going to be my prediction is they could be a wild card team this year. I think they're that good. What's concerning for me is one home run. Trevor Story has the only home run this year. There's no power right now. Another concern, Ian Desmond's hitting 118. I was hoping maybe he would start faster. And the third concern is your two wins or your two studs, you know, Freeland and Marquez. You're not getting anything yet from that. But that said, I mean, John Gray had a solid outing, 6 2/3, 10 strikeouts. He'll take that. Most times that'll end up in a win. Other than that, I don't know. I just can't, 2-3, I can't, it's hard to read too much into that. It's only five games. You know, it's not even, it's such a small sample size.
All righty, Pat. Well, I'm getting the cue here that we need to wrap things up with you. And, you know, we're going to catch up with you again when baseball gets into the hot and heavy part. I guess real quick here as I let you go, are you glad that they got the Nolan Arenado deal signed during the preseason?
100%. I think it's a great deal. Great deal for Denver, and it's a great deal for Nolan, you know, with that, you know, opt out after 3 years. I mean, I don't understand why Machado and, well, I think Machado did. I don't understand why Harper didn't get an opt out, but hey, I'm not his agent.
All righty, Pat. Hey, we're going to talk more baseball with you, talk some playoffs with you coming up down the road. So thanks again. Appreciate you joining us from Denver today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.